You're listening to Cross the Border. We're continuing our study here in Amos. We got to chapter 5, and we got to, about verse 21. I despise your feast days. We've been discussing feast days, and even though Israel kept the right feast days, they kept them for the wrong reasons. And today, well, they don't even try to keep the right feast days. They just bring in the pagan feast days. And I believe the same thing. You know, he says, though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of your viols. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. See, what does he want? He wants right judgment and righteousness as a mighty stream. He said to obey is better than sacrifice, even the sacrifice of praise. Yes, to obey is better. And what good is it if you practice unrighteousness, if you continue in your sins, if you don't allow his Holy Spirit to bring forth the fruit of repentance in your life? What good is it if you praise him with beautiful songs and with solemn assemblies? What good is it? He said, take them away. I will not hear. You have offered me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel, but you have borne the tabernacle of your Molech and Kion, your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. And that's what people do. They make their own image of who they think God should be or is. See, most people's image of God is this. God wants me to be happy. Yeah. God wants me to be happy. So it's okay if I continue to sin and break his law. Because the most important thing to God is that I be happy. See, that's remaking. See, they got it backwards. The most important thing is that God be happy with me, not that God make me happy or that it's backwards. God wants me to be happy. Well, how about I want God to be happy? How about that? So I can continue. God understands why I can't keep his law. Because he wants me to be happy. It's important that I be happy. And if I had to keep his law, well, I would not be happy. And God wants me to be happy. See, that's the image that people have of God. It's an image that they've created in their own mind. It's a false God. It's a false image. So what if even if you get the right days and you say the name correctly and you have the most beautiful praise music on earth, but you're still worshiping an image, a false image, a God which you have made to yourselves. He says, therefore, speaking to Israel, the northern kingdom, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Chapter 6 of Amos. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named the chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel came. Pass ye into Calneh and see, and from thence go to Hamath the Great, then go down to Gath of the Philistines. Be they better than these kingdoms, or their border greater than your border? Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon the beds of ivory and stretch themselves upon their couches and eat the lambs of out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall. So ye that put far away the evil day. Yeah, that's kind of like saying, boy, I'm sure glad that, you know, when Jesus comes, I'm going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. See, they put far away the evil day when they don't know it's going to come upon them because they're believing in a lie. And they use violence. Now, how do you use violence? I'm going to tell you what is violence. You know what violence is? It's using the state to steal from your neighbor. It's using the gun of the state. That's the threat of violence. It's using the threat of violence against your neighbor to get what your entitlements from the state. That's what socialism and communism is. It's violence. Remember, the violent take it by force. The violent take it by force. Oh, but everybody, no, people are afraid because the state is a gun. The state is force. And socialism is voluntary force. Communism is overt force. See, it's still the threat, though. People are threatened. Why do people fill out a 1040 Inquisition form every year? Because they're afraid of the gun of the state, that they're going to come and get them and throw them in jail and lose, take everything that they have by force. It's all force. I mean, if there was no force, who would pay their property taxes? If we weren't afraid they were going to come and sell the property to someone else and use a gun to force us off of it. See? It's force. All socialism is force. It's not charity and truth that the new social order is going to impose upon the whole world. They call it charity and truth. No, it's charity by force. That's what it is. It's sin. It's theft. It's violence. And that's why they're going to kill everyone who does not comply in the end. They've done it before. They'll do it again. Comply or die. It's called force. You'll be an enemy of mankind and an enemy of God Almighty to them. And you will deserve to die because the violent take it by force, and they're going to take it from you by force. And if you don't give it, if you don't give in, they will kill you because that's where violence ends. That's the end of violence. Ye that put far away the evil day and cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon the beds of ivory, and they do, all of those in the ruling class that impose all this violence on everyone else by legislated socialism and communism, the new world social order, they call it social justice. Yeah, it's coming. The new world social order is the kingdom, their version of the kingdom of God by force. They cause the seat of violence to come near, that lie upon beds of ivory. They lie upon beds of ivory. They enjoy riches. What do they care? They benefit from it. They get to skim off the top of everything they take from everyone by force. All of your insurance schemes, mandatory health insurance, car insurance, people are getting rich. You know, most of that goes to their beds of ivory, and they stretch themselves upon their couches, and they eat the lambs out of the flock and the calves out of the midst of the stall, the chant to the sound of the viol, invent to themselves instruments of music. Says like David, they drink wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments. That means they get the best of everything. But they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. Therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive, and the banquet of them that stretch themselves shall be removed. The Lord God has sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, abhor the excellency of Jacob. I hate his palaces. Therefore will I deliver up the city with all that is therein. And it shall come to pass, if there remain 10 men in one house, that they shall die. And a man's uncle shall take him up, and he that burneth him to bring out the bones out of the house, and shall say unto him that is by the sides of the house, is there yet any with thee? And they shall say, no. Then shall he say, hold thy tongue, for we may not make mention of the name of the Lord. For behold, the Lord commandeth, and he will smite the great house with breaches, and the little house with clefts. Shall horses run upon the rock? Will one plow there with oxen? For you have turned judgment into gall, and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Ye which rejoice in a thing of naught, which say, have we not taken to us horns by our own strength? But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel, saith the Lord God of hosts, and they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of the wilderness. The day of the Lord is at hand. It's the day when the Almighty decrees his judgment. And he says, only a remnant will be saved. It's too late for the nation as a whole. It's too late. A remnant. Whatever time that you're living in, always pray that you can be a part of his remnant. He's always had his remnant. In all times, as far as I can tell, reading the book from the beginning to the end, it's only a remnant that are truly his holy nation upon the earth. His holy nation. We're in chapter 7 of Amos. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. And behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease. I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hands. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel, and I will not again pass by them any more. And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. And remember, the word was, where there was 1,000, there'll be 100 left. And where there were 100, 10 will stand. That was the word. And this is more specific. You know, Amos saith that Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. Saying, you know, Amos, we don't want you around here. Look, why don't you go over to Judah? You know, we separated from them. We don't need your prophecy. You go over there and prophesy, Amos. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword. And thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity, forth of his land. Oh, boy, he asked Amos to lead. And I'll tell you what, when you're doing the work of the Almighty, when you're giving his word of prophecy, you don't turn back. You move on. And now it gets even more worse and more specific. I mean, obviously, if the people are going to go into captivity, that means his daughters are going to be turned into whores. That's a pretty harsh word. Prophesy not. Therefore, thus say the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city. So it looks like his wife, his very wife, is going to be taken captive. And I'll bet you that happened when he was speaking to Amaziah, that his wife was turned into a harlot in the city. And thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land. And Israel shall surely go into captivity, forth of his land. Hard words indeed. When the day of the Lord comes, when judgment comes, who can stay it? How important it is to learn obedience and do the hard work of obedience, of learning obedience, the hard work of repentance, putting off those things that are not pleasing to the Almighty. Why hang on to the last little thing? He takes everything away, yet people won't repent. They hang on to sins they can't even enjoy anymore. Oh, man, repent. The kingdom is at hand. That's what the Messiah said. He preached that message. Repent, for the kingdom is at hand. It's the same message today. It was the same here. Amos is still preaching the same message. Repent. It's at hand. The Lord is at hand. Repent and live. Repent and you will live. Yes, 10 of 100, 100 of 1,000, a remnant would survive. That was the message. And when that comes, when that time comes, if I were there and if I am there and when it comes, I just pray, let me be part of that remnant, Father. Teach me obedience. I don't care what the cost is. I don't care how hard the, what do they call it, withdrawals are. That's because that's what it is. That's all it's about. You know, all of your habits, whatever it is, you're withdrawing from it. You're having withdrawals, whether it's food or sex or drugs or cigarettes or power or money or whatever. You have to learn to live without it. That's the hard work of repentance. That is the fruit of repentance. That's what true repentance is. And remember, mark my words. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. How can there be? If you continue in your sin, what's there to be forgiven? You require continual forgiveness while you make the reservation to sin? You haven't put off your reservations to sin. Where's the repentance? How can you be forgiven? There's no such thing as forgiveness without repentance. What is wrong with people? How deluded can you be? The law was nailed to the cross. There's only one reason that you would want to believe that the law was nailed to the cross, so that you can continue to sin while you enjoy the benefits of the blood of the Messiah who paid the price for your sins, so you can continue to crucify him anew, as Paul said. He said, there is no more forgiveness for you. What about that? What about where he said that? There is no more forgiveness. Yeah, those words are actually in there. There is no more forgiveness. Without repentance, there is no forgiveness. If you stop repenting, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work that repentance in you and bring forth the fruit of repentance in your life, there is no forgiveness. Give it up. Withdraw from it. No matter how painful it is, it's only painful for a little while. Do you really want to please him? Do you really want to give your life to him? How can he use you if you continue in your sin? There's no place in his kingdom for you. You hate his kingdom. You hate his law. You don't even want to keep it. You think, oh, God understands why I can't give it up, why I have to continue in my adulterous relationship. Well, we're married. I don't have to give up my fornication. After all, God made me a man, and I have needs. God understands why I can't keep his law. And everyone justifies their sins. And then they go to church, and they feel pretty good about it, because nobody's calling for repentance in the churches. They're not preaching that gospel, the gospel of the kingdom, the one that the Messiah preached. Who am I to preach another gospel? You want a prosperity gospel, a family gospel, a Christmas gospel, a praise gospel? You name it. They got a gospel for you. But he preached one gospel, the gospel of the kingdom. And it goes like this: repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Well, we're going to finish up Amos when we get back from these messages. Don't go anywhere.